As my introduction said, I'm with the state affiliate here in Massachusetts. We're very happy to have everyone from out of town joining us in Boston. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a particular campaign that we've been running called the Act Fresh campaign, which is a campaign to change statewide policy around access to healthy, affordable food and safe spaces for physical activity. But I hope to really highlight a couple of key points about what we think makes this campaign successful that are not necessarily only pertinent to those issues, because I imagine people here are working on a whole range of different issues. What I'm going to talk about is a public policy campaign. What people might mean by advocacy or campaigns as part of this panel may be very different. I think it will be a really interesting mix. But I wanted to ask people who are here, so I can get a sense of who you are, how many people have been involved in some sort of effort to change public policy, whether on the local level, the state level, the national level? Maybe you need to stand up for a second. I see people standing up very slowly. Everyone's got that sort of mid-afternoon lull energy. So can I just hear a couple examples of what kind of campaigns people have been involved in? Maybe somebody over here? So what kind of policy were you trying to change? Okay. Great. Somebody over here?
Chemical policy reform.
Okay. On the federal level?
And the state. Yeah.
And the state level? Maybe someone in the back there?
Drink driving in Australia. Changing laws.
Okay, great. Maybe one more back here this way. Anybody in the back corner?
Getting the penal A out of being
violent. Okay, great. So people here have been involved in a lot of different efforts. There's a lot of people who stood up, and it was a broad range. So it's exciting to hear that, a room full of leaders. So I'm going to try to go relatively quickly and just hit a couple of key points in hopes that we can delve in. If people are interested in particular topics, we can delve in during the Q&A. So let me say, at the Massachusetts Public Health Association, we've worked for many years on a wide range of issues, but we worked very intensively for almost 10 years on school nutrition legislation in Massachusetts, going back to a time when it seemed pretty radical to say we shouldn't give kids junk food in schools, which is sort of hard to imagine today, but it really did take us 10 years to do that.
She was shocked.
Stacy was a part of that, so she's, you know. But coming off of that victory a few years ago, we really wanted to deepen and broaden our involvement in policy around chronic disease prevention. And we are trying to figure out how to take our work to a new level. And that's really where this idea for the Act Fresh campaign came from. And it's really based on a pretty simple principle, but which in fact we found, and I think most people find, is easier said than done, which is really rooting the campaign in local leadership in Massachusetts. We're a small organization based here in Boston, but we knew for two reasons we needed stronger local leadership. First of all, we needed to know that the issues we were prioritizing were actually the issues that were going to make a difference on the ground in communities across our state. And even though we think we're very smart, and you know, we can search the internet and we can read the research, you know, you really have to be on the ground level to know what's going on in a community and what's going to help improve the conditions in that community. So we needed more local leadership involved. And the other thing that we knew was that to really change policy, you need boots on the ground. You need advocates going out and building partnerships, convincing their local and state officials that we need to make these changes. And again, working with our couple of people out of our Boston office, we knew we couldn't take on ambitious campaigns without those boots on the ground. And people don't really come out and do the hard work it takes for these campaigns unless they're really part of creating it. So we knew we couldn't decide what was best based on what we thought and then go ask people. We needed to start with them at the beginning. One of the things we did when we first started this campaign is we tried to do a pretty extensive survey of our partners. And as much as possible, we tried to do it face-to-face with key organizational leaders around the state. And I have quite a few slides in here. I'm going to skip through in the interest of time. But we had more than 100 organizations represented who we did face-to-face interviews with, and then hundreds of others who responded to paper surveys and electronic surveys. And some of what we found, and I'm not going to go through these, I'll leave this as an illustration, but some of what we found were things we probably could have guessed without doing the survey. But we learned some really interesting things we never would have guessed. You know, just for example, when people who talked about the built environment and barriers in the built environment to getting physical activity, one of the top things people talked about was barriers to public transit. And we really wouldn't have expected that. So that was just an example of something interesting we learned. So we gathered a lot of data. We did this survey so we could get a sense of what people thought. We did a very extensive, you know, literature review about what the science said, about effective interventions, about what other states were doing. But we needed to pull a team together to basically sift through this information and figure out what it meant. So we pulled a leadership team together, and we made it very clear to people we didn't want an advisory board. We didn't want people to come give us advice. We have plenty of people to give us advice. We need people to come to the table, roll up their sleeves, who want to work together with us actively to make things happen, and be a representative in their community. We also knew we're a pretty small state here in Massachusetts. There's probably a lot of people here who are from much larger states who might laugh a little bit at this, but even though we're a small state, our regions are very different from one another. And there's a lot of distrust, you know, say in the far western parts of the state or the southeast parts of the state to what's going on in Boston, and do people in Boston really care about what's going on in that region, really know what's happening there. And when we pull coalitions together, generally, we say, oh, we're going to have a coalition meeting at 2 o'clock at our office, and who do we get? We get all the people in greater Boston, who it's easy to get there, and we get the people who are professional advocates, either who work for advocacy organizations or who work for an entity big enough that they have an advocacy arm. And we don't get the people who are the community health leaders on the ground because it's too far, they don't have the time, they're not going to come into Boston. So we set up our leadership team to try to address that. So we divided the state into 5 regions, and we said we're going to have 2 seats representing each region of the state. And then we'll have a handful, just 5 statewide organizations that are part of it. So we would have really, it would be really skewed toward local leaders. And we said we're not going to have meetings in Boston, first of all. We're going to have them in Central Mass where people can get there. But this is the map of some of the organizations that were a part of our leadership team. And we really charged them with sifting through this data and figuring out where we should focus. I'm going to skip through a few things. These were a few of the criteria we started with. And, you know, the one I really want to highlight, I think, is the last one. We really wanted to figure out how to have short-term victories and have a real impact, but not take our eye off sort of the long-term, more ambitious goals. And the thing that was more important in this effort of determining an agenda, more than what the data said, more than what any survey said, was what were people motivated to do that they thought would change their communities. If people were passionate and motivated and willing to do the work, that in some cases they weren't being paid for, that wasn't part of their job description, it didn't matter if we had all the research. So we really were looking for things that would light a fire under people. So these are the, I don't know how, you can read these pretty well. These are 5 priorities we chose in our first year of the campaign. You know, and the issues here are not maybe quite as important as the process, but it was a range of issues. And the one I really want to highlight is a platform we took on around zoning reform of our state zoning and planning statutes, which was a very new issue for us at MPHA and our partners. But as we delved into it and looked at some specific legislative proposals, people said to us, you know, this is really complicated, it's really new, it's technical, it's not stuff we're used to doing, but it's so fundamental to how our communities are built and developed that we would really be doing a disservice if we didn't take that on as an issue. And I was surprised to hear that. I thought people would say, oh, that's interesting, but, you know, it's sort of too new or too complicated. But people said, no, we really need to focus on this. And then there were some things that were more traditional, like around implementing school nutrition standards that I mentioned earlier that people took on. This was our launch effort, and these are just a couple of nice pictures. This is Howard Koh here on the bottom left, who was our guest speaker, who folks may know as Assistant Secretary for Health. But the picture on the top right is the picture I like the most, and it really embodies, I think, what we tried to do with this campaign. The woman sitting on the bottom left of that picture, which is on the top right, is Judy Ann Bigby, who is our former Secretary of Health and Human Services at the state level. And the gentleman speaking is a young person named Shaq Jones, who was a member of a group called Bold Teens, who was part of our leadership team. So he was there to talk about school nutrition and what it meant to him and his neighborhood, there together with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. And I think it speaks to what we tried to do of bringing leaders at different levels together. So I'm getting my two-minute warning, so I'm going to skip ahead and highlight a couple of things. People told us in the evaluation of the first phase of the campaign, which was 2 years, not only did 100% of our campaign members participate actively in the campaign, about 85% of them said that they got as much, if not more, than that they gave. So they said either my personal goals or my organizational goals benefited from being part of this campaign. So it wasn't a campaign where we were just expecting people to give and give. We really wanted it to sort of feed back into what they were trying to do. We went on to expand the campaign. You can see the organizations in bold here are the ones that joined in the second phase starting this winter, this past winter. And you'll notice we didn't try to, we're not trying to get the biggest group possible here. We're trying to get really solid coalition partners who were ready to roll up their sleeves, but who we knew we were able to provide the one-on-one support and technical assistance to. Because these are not people who are professional advocates in their day jobs, and they need support to be effective advocates or to take their advocacy to the next level. So we have 23 partners now who are part of this. We have new priorities we've identified, which I'm going to skip over. I'll just say these are some pictures from Transportation Day at the State House we had this spring, where we were part of a team who won what averages out to be about $600 million in new transportation funding for our state. And we cared about that because it supports public transit, walking, and biking. We've been very aggressive in media outreach, so you can see some of our media clips from local partners about transportation and health. And we try to make sure people are always in front of legislative bodies for hearings and make sure as much as possible they're local leaders and not just the state leaders. And lastly, I'll just say these are a few accomplishments we've had in the phase two of the campaign. We were able to get almost 115 co-sponsors, legislative co-sponsors, onto priority legislation. And again, a lot of those are because their local constituents are contacting them, not because MPHA was contacting them. We're able to move some legislation pretty quickly in the session, and really, especially around the transportation issue, I think really sort of change the conversation and make people at the state level and in other sectors start thinking about that as a health issue. But again, this has not been because of MPHA, but it's been because we've had this pretty broad partnership. And we are moving on to really try to focus on quantifying the leadership development aspects of this campaign so we can set very clear goals around leadership development and then measure it. So I'm going to stop there and just say thank you very much for your time this afternoon.